Heavenly Father, please follow me and please speak to me. In Jesus' name, I'd like to start this morning by painting a picture. It was a beautiful spring day, very much like today, where it started out raining and then cleared up. And I was pulling my vehicle into a parking lot. And I parked and I got out and I took out two large orange cones, placed one on one side of the vehicle, one on the other. And then what I did was I put my vehicle in reverse and I started pulling in backwards. What I was doing was parallel parking. Well, I thought it was going really well until my back tire hit a curb. So I pulled back out again and I thought, okay, I'm going to try this again. And I knew I needed to cut it a little closer. So what I did was I put the wheel a little tighter, and I started pulling back in, and I thought I really had it, and then I heard this big thump. And I realized that the cone that was in front was now under my vehicle. So I pulled back up, got out, pulled the cone out, put it back up again, and tried one more time. And this time I was determined to nail it. So I started back in again. I missed the cone. I missed the curb. And I thought I was, there. When I opened the door, I realized I was 3 feet from the curb. So just then, a voice from the passenger seat said, "Dad, thanks for teaching me how to parallel park. May I try now?" And that was our son, Jared, and that took place in the church parking lot. By the way, how many of you have taught somebody to drive or have learned to drive in this church parking lot? Raise your hand. Quite a few people have realized that. Thank you. Our job descriptions define us. They tell who we are and what we are. And that story I just told you, my job description was being a father. But it was also teaching my son how to parallel park, how not to parallel park, probably. Many of us go through life with many job descriptions, and sometimes our job descriptions change, sometimes we drop some. For instance, whatever occupation you have, whether you're an oral surgeon, whether you deliver pizzas, whether you're a painter, those are all job descriptions, a homemaker. Some job descriptions are volunteer, such as a Sunday school teacher, working down in the treasure chest, tutoring a child in a public school. And then other job descriptions are relational, being a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a grandpa, a grandma, an aunt, or an uncle. One thing that I found out is that day when I was trying to teach my son how to parallel park, that parallel parking had a lot to do with how I feel about evangelism. First of all, it's really hard for me to do. Secondly, whenever I try to do it, I always get a bad feeling in my stomach. And thirdly, when I do it, I usually end up running over something or over somebody. So let's talk about evangelism. What exactly is it? I'm going to give you the real classical illustration of what evangelism is. It's when a person presents the gospel some they send that person off. And I'm going to describe that a little bit more in detail. An evangelist, somebody who has that gift, what they'll do is they'll go up to a person, and probably somebody that they don't even know, and ask them if they've received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if the person says no, what they will do is they will present the gospel message to them. They'll talk about how God came down to earth and took on flesh and blood in the form of Jesus, and how he went to the cross for us, for our sins, and how he rose again on the third day and promised us eternal life. Then the evangelists, what they'll do is they'll ask the person if they want to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And many times what they'll do is they'll take them through a prayer. Once they do that and the person has accepted Christ as their Savior, they will say that you are now a disciple and your job is to go out and multiply and make more disciples. Now that classical definition of evangelism, and that's just one definition, that classical definition is a spiritual gift. And just a couple of weeks ago, I had the pleasure to meet with Jack Stewart, among a number of other people. And Jack is a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary in New Jersey. And Jack is talking to us about how the way we approach evangelism needs to change. And he said that there are many obstacles that people currently have. One is that their religion is intensely personal. They really don't want to share much about their religion. It's kind of a don't ask, don't tell situation. Also, many people nowadays are very biblically illiterate. Recently, there was a survey done given to people on putting things in the Bible chronologically. And a number of people thought that Jesus Christ came before Moses. Likewise, many people nowadays like to visit the spiritual buffet, in which maybe they'll take a little Hinduism and wrap it around some Christian tenets, and then sprinkle in some New Age beliefs. So, what does this mean for us? Well, it means that we need to start in a different place. For example, the way we live our lives, the way we bear spiritual fruit, the way we show other people that, let's say, we're patient, we're kind, we're generous. Another thing that we can do is to create a relationship with somebody, to really spend time with a person and ask them, tell me your story. And spend time listening and being a really good listener. Sometimes it's better to be quiet and to listen to the other person. But then there comes a time where we need to share our story, our two-word story, how our life was before we allowed Jesus Christ to enter in, and then how our life has changed. The one thing that we need to remember is that God comes to people through people. Another thing that you could do is to get a person involved. Give them some experiences, such as working at ChristNet. Today, the youth are going with Jonathan out to feed the hungry in the past quarter. Giving them those experiences really help. Now, those of you who know me, know that I have spent most of my life working with young people. I've worked as an elementary school teacher, as a soccer coach. I've worked with a couple of different youth groups, taught Sunday school and such. And now I have the pleasure of working with the young adults here at First Press, which is really great. I still remember a girl in my youth group came up to me and she said, you know, I've heard a lot about evangelism and witnessing, and are those exactly the same or are they different? And likewise, instance, that as a pastor, you can back me up on this, Pastor Gary, that if you're ever not sure of something, there are three words you should tell that person. It's a mystery. Well, I tried that, and that really didn't work. So I told her, let me do a little reading on it, a little research, and next week at this group, I'll tell you if those are the same or if they're different. And when I did this research on the internet, I found out that last year a program started in the Detroit area, and over 100 churches came together. And it was called the, and it's still called the EACH campaign. And EACH is an acronym for everyone a chance to hear the gospel message. And one of the components of the EACH program is the two-word story. And so I got really involved in that, in front of a number of people. A number of times I've shared my two-word story. And around town, some of you have probably seen these two-word stories. And it's basically where you pick the same word, but you use it twice. And the first time, you use it with a question mark, such as love with a period. So the first word describes your life before Christ, and the second word describes your life after Christ. Now, one of the traps that we as Christians fall into is that we sometimes believe if we're raised in a Christian household that, you know, maybe like a sponge, we just automatically become a Christian. And I'm here to tell you today that that is not true. That each of us need to make that personal commitment to Jesus Christ. You don't accept Christ for your family. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about what a witness is. First of all, it's a job description that God gives to all of us. If you check out the word witness in the Bible, you'll see it's used over 150 different times in different places. The word evangelist or evangelism is used less than 10 times. So God wants us all to be witnesses. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." So when we become Christians, we become filled with the Holy Spirit. We receive spiritual gifts, and we are to then go out into the world and use those gifts to witness to other people. So a witness tells who you were and who you are now. John 9:25 says, "One thing I know now, once I was blind, but now I see." Now, as a witness, you need to approach each person and kind of evaluate where they are in their spiritual life. And wait for God's instructions, and then when God gives you instructions, you are to act. Acts 26:16 says, "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you." As a witness, we need to walk alongside broken and sometimes even people we consider ungodly. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us." Likewise, as a bishop, as a witness, you need to have passion, but you need to realize that salvation is up to God. We don't save people. Jesus does. 1 Corinthians 3:5-8 says, "What is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God to know a person, once you have that relationship built up, once you hear their story and you listen to them, once you share your story, it is your job, it is my job, then to unpack the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes when we present the gospel message to a person, they're not quite ready to receive it, but you have at least planted the seed. Now, one of the things that we've been doing each Saturday over the last few weeks at Converge is I shared my two-week story with the group, and then I had a group of young adults practice with each other and with their two-word stories. And then what we started doing each week was, during my message time, we opened up to allow a couple of people to come up and to share their two-word story. And one of our faithful members of Converge is Don. And I'm going to ask Don if he would come up now and share his two-word story.
Story. So that's what I'm going to do. sort of like a belief in it. Like an atheistic belief in God, in a sense, because I never didn't believe in God. I would never classify myself as an atheist at any time of holiday. But, and actually, that's when I can't remember what I was. I promise I was Christian. But I really wasn't. God wasn't a big part of my life. I didn't believe in believing God. I don't know how to understand it. Back then, I just understood God as something that really didn't matter. He wasn't this real thing that he is now. But I grew up about 15 years old. I was in a lot of trouble. I was out of the house for a while. But as a runaway, I stayed at friends' houses. I stayed at this one girl's house I knew for a while, and I didn't believe there. And eventually, at one lady's house, I ended up getting arrested. Characters in the Bible I can relate to the most. And, you know, I want people in the Bible to use the best, but the one character in the Bible I can relate to a lot is the character of Pontius Pilate, who is presented with Jesus when he was before trial. And so then Pontius Pilate ended up being the one who sent Jesus to the cross. But one of my favorite scenes in the Bible is just that whole interaction that Pilate has with Jesus. And he's so bad. There's several reasons why, even though I was deep down in that field of committing suicide, several reasons why I ended up not being successful in doing that. One of them being that I'm just like afraid of doing it. Just being powerless, I guess. And I think most people would probably understand what I'm saying there. I mean, everybody thinks about something like that from time to time, but when it comes down to doing it, you kind of just like, you know, Woody Allen would say, you know, I don't mind dying. And I also really just felt mad at God because I did believe in God, and I believed that if I committed suicide, I'd go to hell. So I thought it was all like one big cruel joke, sort of kind of sarcastic, what is truth thing again. Because, you know, it's like God makes my life a living hell, but then if I could try and end it, I'd go to hell. It was just all like a big cruel, sadistic joke to me at that time. But anyways, I ended up going to the hospital for a while, and we get some help for that, and I ended up talking to a minister at the church I was going to. And I started getting involved in the youth group. I was at the church I was going to at the time. And it started helping me a lot. And eventually, about a month or two later, after I was out of hospital, I ended up on a Sunday morning giving my life to Jesus Christ. And I did come to know God in a personal way. And I sort of found that truth. I could have that feeling, you know, of Christ. And that really big moment for me. I was pretty skeptical still even after becoming a Christian, though, because I was more skeptical of myself because I thought I let my emotions get the better of me and made an emotional decision to become a Christian rather than really basing off of any reasonable or logic or anything like that. So I just started really, well, things that really helped me when I became Christian was I did a lot of my research into the Bible and things like that itself, like the Christian religion to see if it was true. I read a lot of C.S. Lewis and stuff like that, a lot of different apologists to help me out. And I think that God did that for me, not just for me, but I think God's helped other people just by having good conversations and stuff like that. At least I'd like to think so. But yeah, like I said, we've all had. I've continued to grow in my search for truth. I'll never be all the way there. We're like what Paul said, we're running a race, and we're racing towards that goal. Right now, we don't see it all clearly, but eventually we will get there. And like I said, everybody's